That is the sound of A Chaos of Flowers, the new album by Big Brave, a sound that's been described as massive minimalism. For this new project, vocalist-guitarist Robin Waddy chose traditional poems by women like Emily Dickinson and Akiko Yosano for the band to build their soundscapes around. Here is Robin to tell us what inspired her to make A Chaos of Flowers.
I was inspired by we did a collaboration album with this band called The Body. They're dear friends of ours at this point. And Lee from The Body, Lee Buford, he had this fun idea for the collaboration album, which was he wanted to do like Americana music,
right?
Because him and Chip are from Arkansas, and we are from, well, Canada, not Toronto, but well,
it's just like Levon Helm and the band.
Exactly. And he was specifically naming the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was fun. So we were really trying to figure out what we would do. And we had my band had just recorded an album, and pretty much the next few days were scheduled to do the collaboration with The Body,
right.
They said, we'll just write it in the studio. Don't worry about it. We had a couple days off, and Matsir and I were stressing out because we had never written and recorded at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's a big deal. And we only had 4 days, and our brains were like not computing. Yeah. And then I didn't know if there were going to be, I thought maybe Chip and I would be singing, maybe Tessie, our drummer, would be singing as well. Metzger has a great voice, but I didn't know like who would be writing the lyrics or anything like this. And then Lee's like, so Robin, you got any lyrics? And at that point I was tapped out,
right,
because
right.
We had just finished the album, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I took the idea of this, like, I sort of ran with the idea of like, okay, Americana. I had always wanted to do a deep dive into folk music.
Right.
And so it was my chance to get to do a deep dive and look up like Appalachian and old timey and folk music and ballads and hymns and everything. And so that was really, really fun and inspiring. And I thought I wanted to do something similar with A Chaos of Flowers, but what ended up happening was when I was doing, revisiting the research I did and then researching more, I felt really good with what we had done with the collaboration, and I kind of wanted to leave it there. And it got me thinking for some reason, I don't know. I actually don't know how I jumped to poetry, but then I jumped to poetry.
Right.
and so I was looking for what's out there in regards to, public domain poetry, for example, because I got a lot of the folk stuff.
Yep.
From
sure.
Public domain.
Yep.
And a lot of the poets and poetry that was available, I just didn't necessarily relate to very much. And then it just got me thinking about like, who do I actually relate to? And so I revisited some poets I had long since forgotten about, and then learned about other poets and how the ones that I relate to the most are, women, people of color, mixed race as well. And then I also noticed that there's this kind of like almost transcendental life experience that's also kind of cross-cultural, because a lot of these poets were from like the late 1800s.
Right.
Early 1900s, like at the latest, and unless Esther Popo, Early, so then that kind of got me inspired, and I just went into a deep dive, and I didn't resurface.
All right. We obviously have resurfaced. So,
Yes, now I have, yes.
but did it give you some kind of different or new perspective on what you thought this type of poetry from that era and from those poets was all about?
Yeah, actually, it really, really did because like with poetry, or rather, like opera music, for example, it's an acquired taste. Not every reader or writer likes to read or write poetry necessarily. It's not necessarily niche. It's a very different format of literature and of of writing. And so, like opera, you kind of have to want. Really want to, if you're not curious, but want to get into it. And oh my God, I forgot the question.
Oh, I think it was just it, going deep, diving, change or alter
Oh,
your perception of these folks.
yes, exactly. Because it and in and it did though. Because even though I never really had read a lot of poets, so like contemporary poetry for sure, for sure. But I also didn't know. Yeah, exactly. It did, and it showed me that these poets had such a not there wasn't this like turmoil, but they were able to really beautifully and eloquently express this sort of like. Kind of solitary, somber, sad, grief, those types of emotions like depression. They did. I found that they really, really did that very, very well. And like even in some of the poetry, the cadence and just even the format in which they align their phrases. It definitely changed my experience, my perception for
So,
sure.
once you've decided which poems or you were planning on using, how did you present them to the rest of the band and talk to them about the music that wanted to accompany it?
That's actually, thanks for that question. No one ever asks that.
Normal.
Because it's like, I don't know. It's well, I have no idea, but for the most part, they've always really entrusted me with regards to what I write. Like the only thing that people might we have a discussion about are usually song titles or mostly the title of the album.
Right.
That's where the discussion kind of comes in. But this album, the concept came before we even started writing the music, and it was Mathieu and I talking, and then it just kind of developed from there. And I on occasion I'd be like, yeah, so I'm thinking about poetry, and then I just like wait for a reaction to see if it was like a visceral no.
If you cleared the room or not.
exactly. But no, immediately both of them were super curious and were just so down the moment I started talking about it.
Okay. So tell me about the other two folks in the band, just for folks who are not that familiar. You got your guitar player, is it pronounced Metau or I don't.
Mathieu, yeah, no, yeah, it's just French. Matthew, Matt Ball, and Tessie Hudson.
So give me a little brief bio on each one.
So Mathieu Ball, the other guitar player, he's been playing music ever since he could, I think, pick up a guitar. Even though he wasn't like technically like formally trained at an institution or anything, he's so proficient, and because he's been doing it since he was just so small. Right. And actually the same thing with our drummer Tessie. She's been playing music ever since she was a little kid. Right. Like she told me stories about how she would wake her parents up at 2 o'clock in the morning because she had just written a song and wanted to show them. And they were like, okay, show us, you know, which is, it's quite lovely. It's such, I love that story so much. And Tessie is amazing. Like she's one of those jack of all trades kind of thing. Like not only can she drum, but she's, she plays the piano, the guitar, the bass. She sings. She knows how to record and mix, and she does everything Matt's here to. Pretty much almost any instrument he picks up, he's able to like figure it out. And then next thing you know, he's like writing these piano lines, and I'm like, what? it's pretty amazing. I don't know what else I could say.
What musically brought the three of you together to make to form a band?
Sure, yeah. So what ended up happening was Matsir and I were roommates with a friend of his first, and he had been playing music forever. I was just playing the acoustic guitar with my friends in our living room, just learning folk songs and stuff like this, and just, you know, quite literally just having living room jams of like folk and bluegrass stuff. So I really basically only knew four chords that I taught myself, and I was
one more than you really need.
Yes. For just in case it goes too minor, then it's like it's good to know. And so when Matsir and I were living together, he saw like, oh, he saw that I had an instrument, and he was like, oh, you play guitar. And I'm like, I don't really. And we just started jamming in our living room. And then we did the same thing, like just living room jams with friends, where I'd be singing, cause he's like, okay, you can sing. And I'm like, I guess so.
Right.
And, cause I also had never really sung before properly. I knew I could like carry a tune. I didn't know if it was any good though. There's like a difference. and then we decided to turn that into a band. And fast forward till I think 2017 or 2018, that's when I met Tessie through a mutual friend of ours. Uh-huh. And I knew she played music. I didn't know to what extent, but then when our drummer left, we were looking for a drummer. We had already recorded the album that we were about to tour with a hired gun. So we were looking for a performance drummer, like someone to tour with us. And at that point, and that was in 2019, and in that point, I had already jammed with Tessie once, and she was on bass. And then the friend that was on drums was like, oh, you did this beat. Can you show me that beat that you did? And I've never seen Tessie do this before up until that point. She walks over to the drums, and she's like, and I'm like, okay. And so I asked her if she would be interested in trying it out, see if it works, and like that it did. Cool. And turned out, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Now I see you recorded out, yeah, in, yeah, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Yes.
That I've never, yes, heard of any album, music, anything. The only thing I know about Pawtucket is they had a minor league baseball team.
So. Yes. It's a bit of, with regards to like heavy and interesting, loud, experimental music, it's a funny hub because there's a lot of people throughout the years that have come out of there and have gravitated to that area for, you know, a plethora of reasons. But so the collaboration album that we did with The Body, was recorded there, but we had already recorded with Seth before,
right?
Because we had heard of him, and we had done a small tour with The Body before the collaboration album, and they couldn't stop raving about Seth Manchester, who records us, and so we're like, well, let's give it a shot, and we did, and it was kind of like it was great because we found someone who was on the same wavelength as us in terms of experimenting with the tools that you have, and I immediately really, really appreciated watching Seth's brain work because and witnessing him talk about music, not everybody in the industry is actively is an active music fan, you know? Right. And so when I meet someone,
just
phoning
it in, checking it, clocking in and clocking out.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so like, so all of the music references that he talks, had talked about and still does, the genres range so widely, and some like really obscure stuff, and to very, very popular music,
right,
even.
Right.
And I love that because it just shows that this person loves and is interested in music as a whole, and not a genre and not a lifestyle, you know?
Right. Because when it's interesting, when you're talking about Body, I thought you were talking about the Kim Gordon band, Body Head.
Body Head. Yes.
Sonic Youth seems to be a part of kind of what you guys do anyway. So cool. So to get to the album, it opens with "I Felt a Funeral," Emily Dixon.
Yes.
Why did you put that up at the front? It's.
I felt a funeral in my brain, mourners to and fro, keep treading till it seemed that sense.
It was a happy accident, in a way. Because before I realized that that was the first, like, really understood that that was the first song, and that's like the first song people are gonna hear, off, like, at the start, and how kind of severe and challenging and interesting and intriguing and or whatever that might be, we decided on the order just based on the flow of each song and what would be an interesting like an interesting sort of I don't know how to say it, how to link them up in a way that's cohesive.
Yep.
And I Felt a Funeral was the first one. And it didn't dawn on me that that was something to make note of until people started asking me, so why that one? And I'm like, honestly, it turns out that it's also a really, really good introduction to the whole concept of the album lyrically.
Because everyone's heard of Emily Dickinson. So they're like, okay, it's a little bit of familiarity. It's not completely foreign.
Yeah. You can,
it's an open door kind of.
Yes, exactly. And it's easy to enter because it's like, oh, this is someone familiar, more accessible for those that might be, turned off by poetry or just not into it or whatever,
Right.
Yeah.
So it's followed by a poem by a Japanese feminist pacifist from the 1800s, which is pretty cool. So this is why I love, because then I've never heard, what's her name? Akiko Yosano. So now you start doing your own deep digging and go, okay.
Yes.
And you've got a couple of people helping you out on that track, sax player and another guitarist.
Lover. Love.
was really fun to kind of put together lyrically, because most of her writing is actually these, you know, like you've heard of haikus.
Sure.
So it's very similar, except there are differences, but I think it's called tanka, T-A-N-K-A verses, where it's a lot more visceral instead of witty, with like haikus and or like poignant, I find, with haikus, right, necessarily. But anyway, so it's a bit of an amalgamation of all of the verses that I really gravitated towards the most. And and then the guests, for all of the guests over the whole album, actually, we had like a whole list of people that we asked, and because of, you know, life and the world and our you know,
stuff like that.
Yeah, not everyone could do it in time, or wasn't or not everyone was available. So
did they have to travel to Pawtucket, or did you do it?
No, they could do it remotely, and they would just send us the files. It was perfect. We're just like, here are the songs. We trust you.
I love it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sonically, especially on the second track, I'm Not Speaking of the Ways, there's like some kind of thunderous, I don't know if it's percussion or what it is about midway through the things. So I'm curious in general, mm-hmm, how those sounds happen. And you talked about, you know, experimenting. Is that, how does the experimenting fit in with actually getting anything done?
Hey, good question. Because... yeah, because you could experiment forever, and then the next thing you know, hours have passed and nothing is recorded. I think, I wish I could remember, because we recorded this last year, right, over the course. Yeah, and what was it? Yeah, I think what it was once... This is a very basic understanding of the process of what we did for this album, was that we had the elements and we were putting them together. And then what would happen is someone would have an idea, like Seth, he'd be like, you know, it would be cool if we do like a side chain, or if or Tussie would be like, oh, I'd really much prefer to hit something different than, or not use a particular drumstick or something, and that's your, and I, or whatever, any of us would just come up with an idea. And what ends up happening is we have we never say no, right, to an idea, because I think it's actually really important, because even if you follow through with the idea and you end up scrapping it, a lot of the times you learn something from it, but more importantly, it most definitely will spark another idea. And then the next thing you know, or the idea ends up being amazing. And even if, like, you know, we're four, including Seth. So if I have an idea and everyone says, well, I don't know, Robin, that's really cheesy. Can't say no, have to try it.
Bring on the cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And, but also, you know, time restrictions, but because, you know, it costs a lot of money to record. Yeah. And so even though we might, you know, get into it, we're just like, okay, what time is it? We got to keep the ball rolling.
Yep. So you mentioned, I think, that you guys are taking the show on the road, are you? Are you doing live shows?
Yes.
So how does that work?
Yes.
Is it the three of you? Do you augment? Yeah. Do you change things around?
Yeah. Actually, last year, for the European and the European and the UK tours, we now have a bass player that plays with us,
okay,
to really help the live sound come to to really just
pull it out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually something that has changed. But for the most part, we do our best to keep things as simple as possible because, you know, the more musicians you have, the more instruments you have, the more instruments you have, the more room you need. It's just a matter of trying to keep things as compact as possible, like cost efficient as possible.
Sure.
Unfortunately.
No, that's part of the deal. That's how it works.
Yeah. But at this point, especially for the tours in Europe and the UK, we've pretty much since the second tour we ever did in Europe, we hired this person who does sound and drives and tour manages basically, but we do our own tour managing. But Luke from this company called Smuff in Holland, in the Netherlands, and we just like hit it off.
Oh, nice.
And we've been so we always go to them. We always have Luke, who's now a dear friend. So we know what to expect.
Have you ever been down to this part of the world, Southern Hemisphere, Australia?
Not as a band, but as a tourist. Yes,
you have.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Actually, Matt's here as well. We went to New Zealand. We were only at the North Island of New Zealand. We didn't have enough time to make it down into the South because we went off to Southeast Asia pretty quickly. Sure. We were. Oh, I wish I remembered the town. But we stayed a month thinning apple trees at an orchard.
Right.
Because of the weather, they were late in the season, and that's why we were actually able to find work at that time of year. It was odd, but yeah, we were there months. And
so you're picking apples?
We did actually just thinning out the trees, not even picking out. Because they grow in like these tight fists.
Yeah, right.
So you have to thin out the apples so they can get bigger.
So you didn't get the glamorous job of actually picking the apples.
No, just the weird grunt work of like trying not to bruise the apples. And I remember there was a bird's nest, and we were like, oh, a little egg. And I go to like just touch the tip of the egg, and it was rotten. Ooh. And immediately my finger, like just the slightest, and I was like, oh no. And then my hands, and I was in the middle of the orchard. There's no water to wash my hands. Yeah. It stank, and I almost threw up.
So a pleasant visit to New Zealand. That's nice. So one more question, because we're running out of time.
Yes.
Yes. Would you say that when you go to do shows, is there a typical fan that shows up to see you?
Actually, there used to be, but now it's the demographics changing, and which I really, really love. I mean, I'm just happy that there's anybody coming to see the show at all. I'm always very surprised. It is always a surprise. And people are like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Well, come on. I mean, it's just so much music out there, and there's so many people making really great music." Like, anyway, so. But no, the demographic changed. I think because when we first started out, we were lucky enough to get signed to this metal label. So a lot of people were, it was a bunch of metal heads. Yep. Even though we're not metal, we never were metal.
But you're loud, so that's good.
But yeah, exactly.
And now you're on Thrill Jockey, which is a different kind of vibe, right?
Oh my gosh, that is such a dream come true. Like every so often, us individually and as a band, we giggle about
right.
it. Because Marty, I'm telling you, I still can't believe it. I still cannot believe it. And then it's kind of really funny because both Matsir and Tessie have met Bettina, like the person, the coolest person I've ever not met yet. I haven't met her yet. And I kind of like, am really nervous to meet her because I'm going to make a fool of myself. And then I worry that she'll question everything after that, being like, oh, I don't know, Robin. Anyway, but yeah, I still can't believe it. It's crazy. Never in my wildest dreams.
Well, never. There you go. Here we are. Here you are. So
here we are. Yay.